Christian, congratulations on your honorary degree.
Thank you very much.
How does it feel to pick up this award at Warwick today?
It was really nice. It was a very, very nice ceremony to be part of because I was so close to the faces of all those young people as they came up onto stage. And so I really felt like I was sharing their day. And you know, I'm very bad at taking praise, generally, I think. But it was very nice to hear the oration, actually. It was very flattering. And it's been a great day.
It's been a while since you first appeared on our TV screens, back on Newsround. The TV news industry, very different now to how it was then. What's the biggest change been, do you think, over the last few decades?
The single biggest change is obviously the internet. But the impact of that is myriad, in that we are news gathering digitally. We are able to send back material in all sorts of different quick, clever ways. We can broadcast live from more places, more easily, more nimbly. We can now present Channel 4 News off essentially a mobile phone. You know, we have technology now that puts together 4 or 8 SIM cards into one machine. And the amount of bandwidth you get from that is enough to do a quality television broadcast in high definition. So we are very mobile, we're very nimble. And obviously the competition factor, the competition for people's interest, the proliferation of news websites and people who are also doing the same sorts of things that we are doing has dramatically changed our lives.
I was going to say that. I mean, the way it's changed, people shop around for their news now, don't they? And in a world where everything's summed up in 140 characters, I mean, how do you see the future of the industry?
It's a mug's game to try and predict, to be perfectly honest, so I wouldn't do that. But in general terms, the people who survive are going to be the people who've got something distinctive and different to offer. You know, if you're just doing the news and you're just doing a news bulletin very well, you know, how many of those do we really need? How many of those do we really want, is the question. So at Channel 4 News, we think we've got a very distinctive and different product, which is about analysis. It's about original journalism, holding people to account, big interviews. And that's not something you're really getting elsewhere in television. And so, you know, we hope that that kind of differentiation gives us a product, a brand, an identity that people will continue to want on all sorts of different platforms. Of course, in the future, people aren't going to be sitting down at 7 o'clock for 52 minutes to watch Channel 4 News to find out what happened today. That's not why people watch us. They want to watch us for our take on what happened today. And they will watch us in all sorts of different ways, whether it's in 5 minutes on a mobile phone while they're walking to the bus, or you know, or in a longer form when they get home on their computer or their television. And some people will still watch us live. But you know, we will adapt to how people's habits adapt. That's the key. You know, it's not the industry isn't on a conveyor to a particular destination. It is people, viewers, who determine what kind of thing they want from us. And we will have to adapt to the way they want their news served up. But our core values, what we're serving up, the kind of news we're doing, the kinds of stories we're telling, that is our brand, that is our identity, and that will continue. It will just be disseminated in whatever way the viewers want it.
And on an individual basis, as a journalist, very few people make it to the sort of high-profile roles that you find yourself in today. I mean, what would you say is the secret to your success personally?
Sticking around. I think, you know, lots of people can go on the TV. You know, it's not rocket science. You know, it is essentially being able to look at a camera and tell a story. I have no idea why I still managed to stay here. You know, that's probably for others to work out. But I think familiarity and trust are very important in news. And, you know, a lot of my viewers on Channel 4 News watched me on Newsround when they were kids or as students. They've grown up with me to a large degree, and that's what people often say, you know. And so we have a relationship. They've seen me grow older and greyer and less hair and a bit fatter and all the rest of it, and their lives have changed alongside it. And so I think I think that relationship is really important, actually, when it comes to news anchors. You know, longevity does have, you know, quite a lot to do with it. So, you know, I joked about sticking around, but that's probably got quite a big factor in you know, the relationship I have with the viewer.
And over that time, I mean, you've met countless powerful, influential people. I think the last time you were at Warwick, you interviewed Gordon Brown.
Yeah, well, I'm not sure if it was the last time, but yeah, certainly in the 2010 election, Labour had their manifesto launch here, and I came up and interviewed Gordon Brown, and it became quite a sort of a notable interview, and it ended up on the front page of some newspapers, notably the Mail on Sunday, I think, the next day, because it was around the time people had alleged that Gordon used to hit or push his staff. And so I had to ask him about that, and he was terribly taken aback and denied it all. But it was the first time he'd commented on those allegations. So it was all quite a dramatic day. It was a big day, you know, in the election campaign, and certainly one I remember.
And out of all those interviews that you've done, which one stands out the most to you out of all the people
you've met? It changes, you know. I mean, I'm very self-critical, so... you know, which one stands out is the one that's bugging you is probably the most recent. You know, at any one point in time, the one you're thinking, oh, you know, did I get that right? You know, was I too soft? Was I too hard? You know, did I ask him the right question? I should have asked him this and I didn't. That kind of thing. And you know, as I say, I find thinking about success quite difficult because I find it very hard to judge. So I don't have a favourite. If that's what you mean, there are, you know, there are the ones that are notable, the ones that have gone around the world, whether it's Tarantino or Robert Downey Jr. or, you know, whatever it might be. But actually, you know, it's the interviews, you know, interviews like the one I did with Gordon Brown. I interviewed Tony Blair before the 2005 election, and we talked about Afghanistan and the number of British troops who had been killed in Afghanistan, and he didn't know the answer. Those sorts of moments are the moments you remember because they mean something to you at the time. You know, there was something you're sort of quite proud of at the time. But I think, you know, if anybody asks me my high points and low points, I really struggle.
I think that's really interesting, though, what you just said there about this idea of, you know, being critical of your own interviews, because there are interviews that stand out that you've done that people are obviously commenting on. It's interesting, I guess, for people to hear that you too will look back on those interviews and think about, did I?
Of course, there's no such thing as, you know, right or wrong.
Yeah.
In this game, you know, the people often, you know, people will email in saying, yeah, how could you possibly have led on that story when you had that other one, you know, 10 minutes into the program, and that was much more important. You know, this is an art, not a science, and interviewing similarly is very subjective as to, you know, what you're thinking when you're watching it, and who you sympathize with and all those sorts of things. You know, if I'm duffing up somebody you really like, then you're not going to be very happy about it. But you know, similarly, if you don't like the person I happen to be duffing up, then you might enjoy it a bit more. So there are no rights and wrongs, and I don't, you know, I don't ever take everything too much to heart. But I think you can't do this game without being a bit tortured yourself about what you're doing. You've got to keep on your toes and not get complacent about what you're doing. So yeah, I'm self-critical. You should be.
And just finally, what advice would you give to your fellow graduates today?
Well, what I said in the graduation ceremony was, you know, to aim high, to dare to dream. You know, do not fall into this trap of setting yourself achievable goals. Achievable goals are goals you will achieve. And what's the point of that? Because you might have been able to do better. So I really think, you know, too many people I meet say, oh, well, I'll never be able to do that, or, you know, that, yeah, you know, I'd never get to there, or whatever it is. And I really think people at this stage in their lives should dare to believe in themselves and not be struck down by the first 10 rejections they get. You know, you've got to live through rejection after rejection after rejection and be able to take it, because sooner or later somebody will believe in you, and then you can take it from there. So aim high. That's my overall advice.
Krishnan, thanks. It's a pleasure to talk to you and congratulations again.
Thank you very much.